Weston, like Hawks, was in his early 40s, but he was chunky where Hawks was gaunt. He was self-possessed, urbane behind his black-rimmed glasses, and now a little impatient. He frowned slightly back towards Hawks and arched one eyebrow. "He's insane," Hawks said to him like a wondering child. Weston crossed his legs.
"I told you that, Dr. Hawks. I told you the moment we pulled him out of that apparatus of yours. What had happened to him was too much for him to stand."
"I know you told me," Hawks said mildly. "But I'm responsible for him. I have to make sure." He began to turn back to the young man, then looked again at Weston. He was young, healthy, exceptionally stable and resilient, you told me.
He looked it.
Hawks added slowly, "He was brilliant."
"I said he was stable," Weston explained earnestly. "I didn't say he was inhumanly stable. I told you he was an exceptional specimen of a human being. You're the one who sent him to a place no human being should go."
Hawks nodded. "You're right, of course. It's my fault."
"Well, now," Weston said quickly. "He was a volunteer. He knew it was dangerous. He knew he could expect to die."
But Hawks was ignoring Weston. He was looking straight out over his desk again.
"Rogan?"
he said softly.
"Rogan?"
He waited, watching Rogan's lips move almost soundlessly. He sighed at last and asked Weston, "Can you do anything for him?"
"Cure him,"
Weston said confidently.
"Electroshock treatments. They'll make him forget what happened to him in that place. He'll be all right."
"I didn't know electroshock amnesia was permanent." Weston blinked at Hawks.
"He may need repetitive treatment now and then, of course."
"At intervals for the remainder of his life."
"That's not always true."
"But often."
"Well, yes."
"Rogan," Hawks was whispering.
"Rogan, I'm sorry."
And dark. It hurt me, and it was so cold. So quiet, I could hear myself."
Edward Hawks, doctor of science, walked alone across the main laboratory's concrete floor, his hands at his side. He chose a path among the generators and consoles without looking up, and came to a halt at the foot of the matter transmitter's receiving stage. The main laboratory occupied tens of thousands of square feet in the basement of Continental Electronics Research Division building. A year ago, when Hawks had designed the transmitter, part of the first and second floors above it had been ripped out, and the transmitter now towered up nearly to the ceiling along the far wall. Catwalks interlaced the adjoining airspace, and galleries had been built for access to the instruments lining the walls. Dozens of men on Hawks' staff were still moving about, taking final checks before closing them down for the day, their shadows on the catwalks, now and then occluding some overhead light, modeled the floor in shifting patterns of darkness. Hawks stood looking up at the transmitter, his eyes puzzled. Someone abruptly said, "Ed!" And he turned his head in response.
"Hello, Sam."
Sam LaTourette, his chief assistant, had walked up quietly. He was a heavy-boned man with loose, papery flesh and dark-circled, sunken eyes. Hawks smiled at him wanly.
"The transmitter crew just about finished with their post-mortem, are they?"
"You'll find the reports on your desk in the morning. There was nothing wrong with the machinery. Nothing anywhere."
LaTourette waited for Hawks to show interest, but Hawks only nodded his head. He was leaning one hand against a vertical brace and peering into the receiving stage. LaTourette growled,
"Ed!"
"Yes, Sam."
"Stop it! You're doing too much to yourself."
He again waited for some reaction, but Hawks only smiled into the machine